Okay, in tonight's year, we're going to look at a fascinating tshuva by Rav Asher Weiss. Bringing things a little full circle, we opened off our first year of the year in this series with Rav Asher's tshuva regarding Corona and someone who felt that as a result of their actions, they brought Corona with them into a nursing home, and that led to passing away. And tonight we're going to see another really fascinating and fantastic tshuva by Rav Asher Weiss regarding the status of someone who suffers from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and how that affects their relationship with mitzvot. A little bit, just remind us a little bit about Rav Asher Weiss. For those that don't remember, Rav Asher was born in America actually in 1953. His father was with the Sanz Kloisenberger Rebbe in the Shoah, in the Holocaust. Afterwards, he came with him to Eretz Yisrael. His father was really instrumental in building the Sanz community in Netanya. And then the Rebbe basically told him, I need you to go to America, kind of on like a shlichus of Ma'ati Mechazik Jews. And there's a lot of really great stories. We discussed some of them then. And then at the age of 13, his family came back to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Kiryat Sanz in Netanya and became a very, very close student of Rav Yekutiel Halberstam, the Divrei Yatziv, as he was known after Shailos and Tshuvos Divrei Yatziv, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and really Rav Asher Weiss is to this day. When we talk of the past few weeks, unfortunately, we've been dealing with tshuvot of people who were nifter, unfortunately, over the past year from Corona, or not from Corona, but over the past year. Rav Asher Weiss has been one of the figures who have really impacted Klal Yisrael and the entire world as a whole significantly with his role in Corona, with all the tshuvot he's been writing, taking a very, very hardline stance on following the government protocols for Corona, while other Rabbanim might not have done so as well. But he really was an incredible figure, massive posek, author of 3 volumes of Shailos and Tshuvos Min Chadasher. If you include all his Corona tshuvot, that's another 4th volume. They're debating whether or not to print it as a volume or not, but you could have them all. You get them all online as PDFs. Numerous svarim on Masechtot and Shas, on Klalei HaMitzvot, a Sefer on Derech HaPsak, svarim al Torah. Really fascinating, major Talmid Chacham. His svarim, right, on one hand, he's a Hasidish Rebbe. On the other hand, he wears a shtreimel, he wears a frock. If you were to look at him, you'd think he's definitely Hasidish. But his Torah, you read his, even his Shirim al Torah, right, you open up Minchat Asher and Bereishit, Shmot, etc. It's not like Hasidish Avort. It's not like, pick me up Torah. It's like Lamdos and Sugyos and Halacha on the Parsha. And Rav Asher himself writes in a few places, and I've heard him say it. He says, I have the heart of a chassid, but I have the mind of a litvak. Right? That was Rav Asher. That is Rav Asher. Not was. Baruch Hashem, Rav Asher is still with us. Really, someone who really mixes, and he's one of the few poskim, if not the only poskim in the world, of his stature, who's unanimously accepted across the board. Right? In the modern Orthodox, the OU asks him a lot of their shilas lately. YU asks him a lot of shilas. Right? Many of the influential poskim and rabbanim in the Dati Lumi, modern Orthodox world in America, speak to Rav Asher Weiss. He runs a kolel in kolel for Dayanus and Mamanus, really dealing with financial needs and Choshen Mishpat. And he's really accepted across the board from the Haredi Hasidish world all the way to the modern Orthodox world and beyond. He's the posting of Shari Tzedek, someone who really, really is a fantastic and fascinating figure. If it weren't for Corona, definitely would be Shayach and Kedai to take a field trip to go meet him and to hear him speak. He's fluent, as by growing up in America, he's fluent in English and Hebrew and Yiddish. And really a incredible, incredible posek and fascinating personality who we could have spent the entire year just learning about Rav Asher. Tonight's tshuva is groundbreaking for numerous reasons. The first is that, to be quite honest, it is any discussion today of anyone, you could look online, anyone that's discussing mental health in halacha, particularly, the first thing they always quote, oh, Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva on this. He has a tshuva in Chelek Bet, Simon Kof Lamedal, that's what we're going to go through tonight. He has another tshuva in Chelek Gimel, also, I think it's in, I put it on the sheet, Kof Chof Chet maybe? I changed it, I added it on the sheet on my computer after I printed these. But I think it's Chelek Gimel Kof Chof Chet, if I recall off the top of my head. Really, Rav Asher writes a direct tshuva addressing the halachot and OCD. In the past, this was a very personal shayla. You'd ask your Rav. It wasn't something discussed publicly. It was always a very, what we call, there's general psak, that things are going to be written in Svarim. And then there's like personal kulas, right? There are certain shaylas that someone might ask the Rebbe, and the Rebbe will paskin X. But they would never publicize that psak because it's a personal psak and not a mainstream psak. So, you know, there's discussions about mental health and in Judaism from the times of the Gemara, right? There's articles that have been written that maybe that, you know, some of members, people in Tanakh had different, that had different, mental health issues, including a non-Orthodox rabbi who recently published a book on why Yosef suffered from gender dysphoria, but that's a different discussion, okay? Whatever. Okay? There's a... Okay? So point is, we're not discussing it now. I'm just mentioning this is something that's been discussed all the way back in the times of Tanakh, right? Right? David, Shaul, Shlomo Melech, a lot of different discussions. Okay? Point is, I'm just going to mention regarding, you know, we see a lot about mental health come up. And the Makor Hashiv, we saw some of the discussions regarding B'tikas Chametz, right? We saw the Gemara in Yoma about how far someone goes to make sure that when they daven, there's no fecal matter or bad smelling things in their area, right? And the Gemara says, Ein l'davar sof. You could keep checking for Chametz nonstop. Oh, maybe this happened, maybe that happened, maybe this, right? There's no end to it. People can go to an extreme, and there really is no end to it. And we see OCD and Halacha comes up in, to be honest, from my experience, it comes up generally in three main categories. One where I personally suffer from a lot is Dalet Minim and OCD. I could spend 15 hours looking at a trogan without end, right? There's like a certain OCD with Dalet Minim, I know for myself, and many others, there's definitely an aspect of OCD that comes up in Dalet Minim, right? Finding the perfect etrog. But you know, it's impossible to find the perfect etrog, and every etrog is going to have something with it, but that is something that people really, you can go through forever. Number two, and that's the bulk of what Rav Asher Weiss discusses in his tshuva, is the role of OCD in davening and or bracha, right? Kavana b'shem Hashem, right? Did I have proper kavana? Did I not have kavana? Should I go back and repeat Shemona Esrei? Do I have to say Kriya Shema again? What about Berkat HaMazon, bracha Rishona, bracha Achrona? These are things that, and because bracha and davening are such a large part of our lives, they come up all the time. And number three, that is probably the most commonly discussed, is the role of OCD in Hilchos Nida. This comes up all the time. Speaks a different poskim. This is a shayla that gets asked all the time. Women who literally constantly are doing bedikot because they're overly insane about it. They're over OCD about it to an incredible extreme. Okay, and as a result, they're metame themselves over and over because of it. Okay, in chafifa chatzitza shaylas that come up regarding the mikvah. I got a shayla from a very close friend of mine whose wife had serious halachic OCD. I didn't even know this was a thing until he told me about this, and I went online. There's something called like an electric tweezer. I don't know if anyone knows what this is. I had no idea what it was. It's like an electric tweezer, and she literally, instead of shaving her legs, she would take an electric tweezer for 4 hours, pulling out every single hair in her legs. That is halakhically not that. That's absurd. Okay, and whatever. Point is, for mikvah purposes, right? If this is like. This is like OCD to a level, right? You could spend, I don't know, I've never shaved my legs, however long shaving your legs takes, or you could spend 4 hours with an electric tweezer going hair. That is clearly a mental health, you know, issue that comes up where people are, right? These are shadows that come out. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu famously used to always talk about that, you know, there was a story that came out that someone was visiting Rav Eliyahu and someone, the phone rang and he answered the phone. And the person said, I have a shayla for Mordechai Eliyahu. Mordechai Eliyahu, the former Sephardi chief rabbi, gadol ador, major, major posek, okay? And the father of the current chief rabbi of Tzfat. And the woman said, I need to speak to Rav Eliyahu about a shayla I just finished at the mikvah. And this is the question. And I want to know, do I need to be tovel again? And Mordechai Eliyahu said, right, the person told Mordechai Eliyahu the question. And Mordechai Eliyahu said, oh, is her name, let's just say Sarah? And the guy said, yeah, how did you know? And Mordechai was known as a big makubal, and people claimed he had nevuah and lots of ruach hakodesh. So the person was like, okay, the Rebbe, you know, Rav Eliyahu, he just knows who this woman is because he has ruach hakodesh. And Rav Eliyahu said, oh, he said, yeah, it is Sarah. And Rav Eliyahu said, tell her it was the apple. It was the apple. And he said, it was the apple. And the woman said, okay, thank you so much, and hung up. And the guy goes to Rav Mordechai, he's like, how did you know who this lady was? And how did you know there was an apple involved? And Rav Eliyahu says, she calls me every single time she goes to the mikvah with the same question. So I told her, bring an apple with you. After you get out of the mikvah, eat the apple. And no matter what her question is, she's making things up because she suffers from serious OCD, and she wants to basically go back to the mikvah dozens of times because That's part of her disorder. That's part of her OCD is that she cannot, like, she feels like she did not do something right here. These are issues that come up very, very often and are serious problems and things that we need to work with. And as a result, you can see here, where's the balance between being makil maybe on Hilchot Chatzitza Chafifa? Maybe there really was an issue. But if I say go back, in Ladavar Sof, right? That's what the Gemara was saying. There's this balance, right? Where do we go regarding Hilchot Brachos or Vidal and Minim? How many Etrogim are you going to look at? Until you just say, okay, I'm going to buy an Etrog and I'm going to move on. Okay, so these are a lot of the questions we deal with, and they come up on, for better or for worse, they come up often. Baruch Hashem, mental health is becoming something that's more openly discussed, less stigmatized. That is something that's healthy for Klal Yisrael, that's healthy for people. That's something, Bezrat Hashem, that should continue to break down that barrier, and we should be discussing issues in mental health and how that applies both to humans and in halacha, right? This is not every case. Kol Mekre Legufo has to be, you know, every single situation has to be looked at on its own, but this is a general overview of how it's going to apply. And so that's why Rav Usher publishing this tshuva was just the fact that he was willing to publish it, regardless of who he was and the stature and standing he has as really one of the post Gayador, the fact that he was willing to publish it in a sefer is in of itself groundbreaking and fantastic. So Rav Usher writes, the question that's being discussed. Talmid Chacham Muflag, right? There's this great Talmid Chacham who's very, very knowledgeable and he has really Yirat Shemayim, right? He suffers, unfortunately, from a very, very serious case of OCD. And as a result, he finds himself unable to pronunciate the name of God and to say bracha properly. He can't say Kriyat Shema, Al Pi Halacha, right? Having the proper Kavanah of Hashem Echad, etc., right? Most of us probably don't say Kriyat Shema or Brachos properly anyhow also, but that's, you know, a different issue. I speak for myself at least on that one. And as a result, sometimes he could spend significant amounts of time, he could spend hours just trying to say Kriya Shema in the morning, and he drives himself crazy because he's just, did I say it right? Did I not say it right? And this is causing him serious mental and emotional and, at the end of the day, physical anguish, because he basically is just going over it and driving himself, you know, he's driving himself into the ground going crazy about this. And according to the doctors and his mental health professionals, when it comes to OCD and these type of issues, the best form of therapy that there is that you should never, ever repeat it. The best way to work through your OCD is, you did fine. You did great. Your bracha was lechatzchila, kosher legamre, enjoy the food, your kriya shema is good. The minute you start going back, that's when you find yourself going down the rabbit hole, stuck in that loop, right? You're in the hamster wheel, running in circles. The mainstream opinion amongst therapists and mental health professionals is, you say it once, and that's it. Do not repeat it, because the minute you repeat it, you're going to second-guess yourself over and over and over again. That, and as the Gemara said, Ein Ladavar Sof, it's never going to end. But that's not only what the Gemara says, that's what the mental health professionals in our generation are properly recommending. That is what they recommend. Okay? And this is going to apply, right? Never go back on for tefillah or for brachos a second time. Whatever you said the first time, that's it. You did great. And you shouldn't go back and try again. That is the opinion of his mental health professionals. The problem is, this person who's asking the question, he's a Talmud Chacham, and he's very worried, right? He's a Yiret Shemayim. He says, if I don't go back, I know I wasn't Yotzei the Mitzvah. I didn't say Kriya Shema Midioraita because I didn't have the proper Kavanos. So now he's driving himself insane. The doctors are saying, right, my psychologist, my psychiatrist, right, are telling me, don't repeat it. Do not repeat it. Repeating it is only going to be bad for you. But he's also worried about his relationship to Hashem. What if I don't repeat it and I wasn't Yotzei Kriya Shema now for months? How's that going to affect me? And he's very, very worried about it. So he wants to know, right, he says, I know for a fact I did not say Shem Hashem properly. I was not Yotzei Yidei Chova with my bracha. Am I allowed to even eat? Right? If I said a bracha rishona and I did not have kavana, maybe it's also for me to eat, right? Depending on how you understand Berakot Nanan in the sixth parak of Mesech Brachot, on Daplam and Hay over there, okay? So, even if you say that it's mutter, maybe, right, you said the bracha once, move on, it's fine. Okay, I understand you say that. But that's because most brachot are derabanan. What's an example of a bracha deoraita? Berkat Amazon. What do we say in the pasuk? V'achalta v'savata u'beirachta. There we learn Berkat Amazon is deoraita. So maybe he should never eat bread. You're right. I'll have fruit. I'll have mazonot. I'll have vegetables. I'll have salad. I'll have shahakol. Right? What's better than living a life off of cake and chocolate? Right? It's kvaldik. Maybe some ice cream on the side. Okay? But here he's going to say, I'll never ever have hamotzi, because then I'll avoid the deoraita issue. Okay? And that's his question. I'll never ever be mechayev in Birkat HaMazon, and that's fine. Or he'd say, maybe I'll eat, but I'll never eat till I'm satiated, right? V'yachalta v'savata u'beirachta. The bracha achrona only kicks in when you're satiated, right? How they discuss Shirin Hilchos brachos, not for now. But basically speaking, he's pointing out, maybe I'll eat, I'll have a little bit, and I'm not going to eat a full meal. I'll have a lot of half meals. And then I'm never going to be chayev midyoraita because I was never soveya. We see here where his mental health, right, where the OCD is kicking into his relationship and how he understands and relates to the halacha. That is the question that Rav Asher walks into. We're all clear on the issue? Awesome. Vini Rebbe Zeh. It appears to me la halacha de reshit chovato shel ish zeh lasot kol hag nidrash al menat limtzom mazur v'mer pal machlato l'shem kach mutar lo af lavor al mitzvot Torah. Rav Asher says, before he says it brings any sources, first and foremost, what is the first thing we need to know when walking into this question? The most important thing you need to do is you need to do everything in your power to get better. This is something that's debilitating. OCD is really, really, really difficult and leads to serious struggles in people's personal lives, okay? And you need to do everything you can in order to work through this and to heal, you know, to quote-unquote heal yourself and to get through it in the best way possible. Rav Asher says, not only that, you can even be over mitzvos in the Torah in order to do so. Right before he even brings any source, he says, first and foremost, you need to do everything in your power to get better, to work through this. And that, if that includes being over on mitzvos in the Torah, l'chaim. That's what you need to do. Okay, and now he's going to start to bring in some sources. And he says, as we mentioned in our first year, Rav Asher Weiss very often quotes himself. Right, when you've written as many svarim as he has, and you've given as many thousands of shirim as he has all over the place, okay? He's just such a prolific author and speaker. He's written almost everything. He quotes his own svarim all the time, right? He goes, Kvar biyarti b'makom achar. I wrote elsewhere. In the shuva, he quotes himself at least two times, maybe three, I don't remember. Okay? I already said that it's mutter to be over a mitzvah to say in order that you should not become sick and you should fall, you know, you should get sick. Okay? So far there's difference, right? Obviously there's difference between mitzvah rasei and mitzvah lo tasei. We all know there's a difference between mitzvah rasei of, let's say, shaking dalad minim, versus a lo tasei of killing the guy next to you. Right? I have OCD because there's someone sitting next to me, so I'm going to take out a gun and shoot him. That's like, really problematic, you know, in general. But there's clearly a difference between that versus I have OCD and I'll be shaking my dalad minim for hours on end. Right? There's clearly a difference between, okay, so you'll be shaking your dalad minim, or you'll shoot the guy. Right? There's clearly going to be a difference between them. So when it comes to mitzvot aseh, Rav Asher says, for sure you can be mevatel mitzvot aseh in order to prevent yourself from getting sick. And that would also seemingly include what he said earlier. That will definitely include also doing everything you can in order to work through it and to do your best to control your OCD and maybe even to heal yourself of it. Right? It could be right. My understanding from on a medical standpoint is that really that if you don't ever say it, then you're not actually dealing with the issue. You're just avoiding it. When you say it once, but so my understanding is there you avoid the issue. I could be wrong on this, but the way I understand it is if you don't ever repeat, if you don't say it right, you just won't make brachot. Then you don't actually deal with the issue. You're avoiding the issue, and then when you'll never work through it. If you say it once and that's good, then. From a religious standpoint, I made the bracha. I said Birkat HaMazon. I said Kriyat Shema. Whether I said it in the best way possible or not, we could argue. But if I never say it at all, then I religiously feel worse about myself, and I don't actually work through the problem. It's the not repeating. It's the repeating itself that allows you to then, you know, struggle even more. It could be, but my understanding is breaking the cycle is not repeating it, but saying it once. But I could be, I don't know. That's more of a mental health question.
You actually start by, like, slowly reducing it. Like, okay, instead of saying Shema 8 times, you'll say it 7. And then go down to 1 so that you repeat, you go down to 0 and then back up.
It's with a lot of things. There's the cold turkey issue versus the gradual issue. And that's, you know, that's more of a, you need to speak to, right? Every case is going to be different. And every, you know, mental health professional is going to have their own, you know, tricks and things they do, just like every doctor, right? One doctor prefers pill A, one doctor prefers pill B. They both do very similar things, but the slight nuances is going to be differences that you really need to speak to a professional about. Okay. So Rav Asher seemed to say to be mevatel a mitzvah to say would be okay to get through it. That's what he's starting off with. So he says, let me bring a proof to this. Right? We know when it comes to mitzvah to say, how much money are you allowed to spend towards a mitzvah to say percentage-wise?
Percentage of what?
Of your personal earnings, of the money you own.
I'm going to say a fifth.
A fifth, 20%. Right? He says, we know, the Gemara already tells us, and it's Paskin Halacha L'maisa, one cannot halachically spend more than a fifth of their money for a mitzvah. Let's say you only have 100 shekel to your name, and now it's Erev Sukkis, and buying dollar minim is, let's say, the most poshut set is going to cost you 50 shekel. Halachically, it's problematic to buy that set. You're not supposed to, or even allowed to, arguable. We could argue, is it an isser to spend more than a fifth, or is it just, you know, you're not obligated to? Is it a putter or is it an usser? Okay? But practically speaking, if we see that there's a halacha that you're not obligated to, you don't need to spend more than a fifth of your money towards doing a mitzvah, even more so when it's something that's going to come at the expense of your own health, right? Rav Asher said, how could it be that someone values their money more than their own body, right? I'm not going to be willing to spend more than a fifth of my money on the mitzvah, so how could I be willing to put my own body or my mental health on the line instead? So Rav Asher says, from there, it is clear as day you can be mevatel a mitzvah to say in order to get better, because just like we don't require you to pay all of your money to get better, so too we're not going to make you, you know, suffer and put your own life or your mental health on the line in order to do a mitzvah to say. Okay? And he says, right, and then he says, well, what do you mean? Don't we have a Gemara, right? We mentioned before the Andaf Lamed Hey in Brachos in the beginning of the sixth parak, where the Gemara says at the bottom, very bottom of the daf, Da'asr la'adam la'anot me'olam hazeh b'li bracha. It's usher to get hana from this world without making a bracha, right? I'm not allowed to eat, right? And the Gemara there says it's like you're stealing. If you eat from this world and you don't make a bracha first, it's like you're stealing. And there's a whole debate. Is it stealing from God or is it stealing from humans? Not getting into it now. So Rav Asher says, you're right. The Gemara says it's usher to eat. But he said, Pshat is like Rashi. Rashi says it's not actually an Isser. Rather, the Gemara is saying that, Ein ze ela bitl mitzvah aseh. Right? Rav Asher says, I understand that sugya. It's not actually an Isser mamish. It's not really a prohibition. Rather, by not making a bracha first, it's not that you're really over an Isser. It's you missed out on the opportunity. We spoke about it at the beginning of the year, right? The Rav Aaron Lichtenstein about tshuva. Is it an right? Is it a chova? Or is it a rishus? And then Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's chiddush of no, it's not a chova, it's not a rishus, rather it's an opportunity that's so good that you couldn't pass it up. Okay, and we elaborate on that to the role of Talmud Torah. Okay, so Rav Asher is saying, so too the Rashi understands here, that what? That it's really not a usser, it's not an isser, or a prohibition to eat without making a bracha, but it's a mitzvah to say. So clearly, he's saying it would be mutter to not make the bracha in order to eat, to work through this. Okay, now we're going to ask the question on the flip side. So far we've discussed mitzvah to say, where we agree so far, it's pretty clear that there's what to, you could definitely say, you know, we'll say, don't do the mitzvah to say to work through the mental health issue, the OCD. What's going to be the case, though, with a mitzvah lo ta'aseh? Okay, where there's a negative commandment, or a prohibition. So the question is, right, but based on this, it would be usher to say that you can't, right, you can't be over an isser in order to get healthy. And he says, well, maybe we should have a different discussion. Okay? Maybe if you're not over on the Isser, you'll never get out of this cycle, right? If you don't break the halacha, whatever the case is, let's say it is a tefillah issue, right? OCD with going to the mikvah. If you have a problem with how you went to the mikvah, then that might be an Isser karet. Okay? Which is pretty severe. So Rav Asher says, well, but if you don't maybe break that cycle once, then you're going to be stuck in this cycle of OCD for the rest of your life. Okay? So that's always a discussion of where do we balance kind of either we're making or in malaso. There's not going to be what to do. Right? There's a whole machloket about, in the postkim, about what happens if a woman refuses to go to the mikvah, right? For whatever reason, whether it's a medical reason or for a personal reason, right? There's some strife between the husband and wife, and she says, I'm never going to the mikvah again. Okay? Is there going to be an Isser Yichud or not? Right? Are they allowed to have yichud or not? Different discussion for now. But what some of the poskim, okay, including Rav Eliyashiv, okay, right, including many others, Rav Eliyashiv says, and Rav Nevinzal says this, Rav Gidon Binyamin Paskin, this one I spoke about this sugya, and Rav Yakazin also, they all say it's not an issue of Yichud. When I spoke to Rav Gidon about this, he said, what am I going to say? If I say it's an Isser Yichud, you're forcing them to get divorced. Right? She says, I'm not going to the mikvah, they're having whatever fight. Up, Isser Yichud. It's either, it's an, you don't really leave them with any options. Right? Because here she, because the whole discussion in Yichud and Hilchos Nida of a concept called Papasalo, not a discussion for now, but longer discussion in the world of Hilchos Nida and Hilchos Yichud. But the point is that why I brought that up as like a small tangent is there are certain cases that come up that depending on what, as in, depending on how you paskin, there's not really what to do. If you're going to be machmir there and say, nope, they have an Isser Yichud, and, you know, I'm not going to be makel on the Yichud Shaila, then you're basically saying either make up or get divorced. Like, it's that simple. It's one or the other. You don't let them work through it in a more healthy process, right? So when I spoke about that, that's like, I mean, he said, how can I be machmir? Well, if I'm machmir, I'm basically saying you're automatically forced to get divorced, and like, I'm basically dooming them to divorce. And, you know, that's not an acceptable approach. So Rav Asher is saying similar here, right? You don't ever break the cycle, right? If you never get better and you break out of this difficulty, you'll end up breaking these halacha forever, right? Better that you break the halacha maybe once and then you can, or twice, and you'll get healthy, and then you can keep the halacha 100% for the rest of your life. As in, right now you might not be mekayim the mitzvah in its lechatchila or its best manner because of whatever the specific case is that your OCD is holding you back from doing in the best way. So better that I should allow you on a one or two time basis to say no, just ignore it for right now. So that in a week, you know, the next time the shayla comes up, right? If I tell you this year, just buy the first dalet minim you'll see in the shuk, okay? And then next year you're like, okay, last year lightning didn't come down and strike me because I spent 120 shekel on my etrog instead of 700. Right, I was speaking to Ravin Yaakov, or Mashkiach and Shalavim, last year, before Sukkot, and he told him that he used to spend way too long looking at the Alamina. It was a problem. He felt like it was not healthy. He told him that if he walked into the shuk with the Alamina, he put on his phone an alarm for a half hour. He said, when the half hour is up, I have my Alamina. Because it's getting to a point where it's just not healthy and that's not okay. So he literally put a timer on his phone to say, this is it. I have a half hour, that is enough time to find a really good etrog, but I don't need to spend all day looking. Okay? Not all of us have that self-control and discipline to do that. Myself included. Okay? So basically he's saying, and then he brings, there's a famous shayla that he discusses elsewhere. He has another tshuva in this volume in Chelek Bet. Rav Asher discusses it as well as Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva about it. What's going to be the case if you have someone who is, right, you have a kid who suffers from some form of autism, right? He's somewhere on the spectrum. And right now he's putter from mitzvot, okay? Because of his autism, he's not able to be mekayim mitzvot. Halachically, he's not obligated. But they say we can send him to a school where they have really high success. This is a Chasam Sofer in the 1800s now. We'll send him to a special institution or a school where they have success helping kids work through their, you know, to really regain a lot of their functioning. And then maybe he'll be chayiv in mitzvot, based on the success rates and other stories, they'll be able to get him to a point where now he's going to be chayiv in mitzvot. Okay? The question that was asked to the Chasam Sofer, can I send my kid to such an institution, but he'll be eating treifos, 100% treif. When we asked if we could send kosher food, the school said no. One of the parts of the therapy that works through is everyone's equal. The minute we allow one kid to get special food, people are like, oh, he has special treatment, that's going to affect everyone negatively on a...
No dietary restrictions?
Like, this was the 1800s. They didn't have, like, every kid has gluten-free, celiac, peanuts, sesame. That didn't exist yet. I mean, it existed, and the kids probably died as a result of anaphylactic shock. But realistically speaking, it wasn't like today where every single kid has their own little something. Okay? So that was the question the Chasam Sofer was dealing with, okay? And Rav Asher basically says, based off this Chasam Sofer, Rav Asher Weiss basically points out and says that at the end of the day, it's similar to the case, what happens if someone's walking in the desert, okay, and he doesn't know what day of the week it is. So we say it's usher to do malacha, always, ela kedei chayev. Right, there's a whole discussion how Gemara goes through many different cases. Right, you don't know what day it is, so maybe you should work for 6 days, and every seventh day you stop. Maybe really you should never do malacha except for when you really, really need to. Okay, different discussions and how we relate to it. So Rav Asher says we say there, because you don't know what day it is. You're always afraid it's going to be Shabbos. That's usur to do malacha, except when your life depends on it. Okay? But what's the one exception they said? They did not refrain from him from walking more than Tchum Shabbos. Even though we say, maybe lechatchila, you should never do malacha except for right when you need to. Right now you need to draw water, let's say, from that ocean. That might be, you know, reshut to reshut, maybe depending on the case. Or you need to shecht the animal or pick the fruit from the tree, whatever it is. You can only do that if you really need to, but you shouldn't just stop be doing malachot in the desert because it might be Shabbos. But the one thing that the Gemara says you are always going to be allowed to do, even, right, no matter what, is you can keep walking. Always keep walking. Don't just stop. I can never walk except for when I need to. Why? Because if you don't keep walking, you will die in the desert, fact. Okay, so the Gemara says, keep walking, keep going, because that's how you're going to get out of it. Okay, that's the only way you're going to be able to move on and get out of the desert. And that's how you're going to get back to, you know, humanity and civilization. So Rav Asher says, based on the Svara, it's going to be mutter for the person to be over an Isser in order to save themselves and to remove themselves from this difficulty. Right? They're suffering from their serious OCD, similar to the person who's trapped in the desert. And if they don't keep walking, if they don't work through it, even though the walking is going to be over on Tchum Shabbos, so then you're never going to ever work through it, and you're going to just be stuck there forever until you pass away, and that's not going to be, you're not going to, that's not a viable option. Okay? And as it, right? And he says, based on this, it would be mutter 100% for this person to be mevatel from brachos and kriya shema in order to get better. It's not, right? Which is, and he's then going to be able to be mekayim mitzvos kehalacha. Right? Better that now he should pass up the opportunity to make certain brachot, so that in the future, he's going to have the opportunity to say the bracha with Kavana, to be Yotze L'Kulei Alma. Okay? And he says this is even further. This is like what the Gemara says in Yuma on Pehei Amud Aleph, Amud Bet, sorry, that you could be Mechalel Shabbat Echad Kedei L'Shmor Shabbat Ol Harbe. Why are we Mechalel Shabbos on Pikuach Nefesh? The guy's dying. He has a heart attack. Why can't I take him to the hospital? Let him die. It's Shabbos. It's an Isur D'Oraita. So the Gemara says the reason why we Mechalel Shabbos is better that I violate one Shabbos, right? I save his life. I get it. I throw him in the back of the car. We drive to the hospital. And now Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. Why is that going to be allowed? Because by breaking one Shabbos, the guy's not going to be able to keep Shabbos for the rest of his life. So better to break one Shabbos than to keep breaking Shabbos for the rest of his life. Okay? Sorry, than not being able to ever keep Shabbos again because he just died on your floor from a heart attack. Okay, so as a result, Rav Asher basically says, from here, it seems very, very obvious that you should be able to break mitzvah, mevatel mitzvah elu, tadir mitoch shivron lev, right? He's constantly suffering through this, better to work through it, so that he won't be suffering through trying to do mitzvahs over and over, and basically driving himself into, you know, to a state of insanity, going through it. Okay, he then brings a discussion regarding, okay, this concept of the Gemara in Nazir and Chav Gimel Abet. Someone said here that you guys are learning Nazir now, okay? So the Gemara in Chav Gimel Abet discusses the case of Gedola Avera Lishma. There's a concept of an Avera Lishma. You're doing an Avera, right? It's something you're being over an Isser, but you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, right? The example the Gemara brings is the case of Yael, right? Yael, she kills the guy, and so that was an Avera. She murdered him. But at the end of the day, because of what she did, she killed Sisera, if I recall, right?
Yeah.
Okay? Tanakh, right? People should learn it. Great. Okay? So, point is, Yael kills Sisera. That's an Avera, right? Poor guy, he just wanted some milk. And he falls asleep. Boom, 10 peg to the head. It's over. Okay? So, that's an Avera Lishma. So, the Gemara tells us that an Avera Lishma is like seemingly a really, really good thing. So, there's a whole discussion, when am I going to do an Avera Lishma? When not? There's a big discussion and a lot of halacha l'maisa questions that come up with the Mossad, etc. A lot of questions that do come up that are discussed, or not really discussed in public forums, but shailas that really happen, when are we going to allow certain types of averos or not? So Rav Asher says, maybe we see that there is a time when there's a concept of averos lishma. Well, maybe Yael, it was only because it was for all of Klal Yisrael. No. Seemingly, Rav Asher says, it's because it was an Iyav Shar Acher. There was no other way to do it, right? That was the only way to save Klal Yisrael. So we learn from there that it seems to be, if it's really, really clear and pashut, that this is the only way to break through, this is the fashion, this is what all the health professionals, the mental health professionals are saying we need to do, then we should work through it. Because Gedol Aver Lishma, V'chein Nira Gambini Donyan. Even in this case, breaking the halacha once is going to help get him through. Okay? And with that, Rav Asher says really, really short. He says, and you know, I was really happy to see the stipler. the stipler, right? The Kilos Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who's Baruch Hashem still alive, Kanai Nahara, Admeh Vesrim, right? So the stipler writes in a letter that's published right after he passed away. They published three volumes of letters of his, Karina di Grata, in Igeret Shinayin Gimel. So he writes that he was asked a similar question about davening. Hold on to the question, I'll take it at the end, okay? Just we're running a little over. Okay, so where he says, basically, he says, I was asked a question about someone who wanted to daven, and the stipler says, V'horati, I told him, halacha l'maaseh paskin, that he should daven from a sitter, and whatever he already said, right, you just read the words in the sitter, and what's behind you, right, what's on the last page, that's on the last page, that's behind you. And just read the sitter word for word, don't ever go back. Okay, b'shum ofen, lo yachzur alav b'shum ofen, in no situation can you ever go back. Right, even if you know 100% that you did not say the word properly, or Shem Hashem, or that you skipped a word, right? No matter what, even if you skip Shem Hashem, right? You skipped the word Echad, and Kriya Shema, the stipler says, you do not go back. It's not like Megillas Esther, you missed the word. Kriya Shema is Dioraita, Lekulei Alma. Okay? No, you missed the word, the stipler says, keep going. Just put your finger in the sitter and read Shema Yisrael, right? Keep going. That's it. And Rav Stipler says, right? And even if the guy starts asking you questions, don't even discuss it with a sugya. Don't give him a svara. And he's Rabbi, it's dioraita. Say, no, it's fine. Right? Do not start getting into a halachic discussion with him, because that's going to only drive him crazier. What he needs to hear, this is the stipler. The stipler, you know, was not a mental health professional. Okay? He was the Gadol Dor. But he was not I don't think, up to date with the mental health and the medicine that Rav Asher Weiss is, to be honest. Okay? So the stipler says, if he starts discussing it with you and asking you shilas, etc., do not discuss with him. Just tell him, this is a psak halacha, open a sitter, follow along with your finger, read it, and move on. Do not ever go back, right? En kan, okay? Right? Ublitam, right? Sorry. V'chalachin tzarech lomar be'echleit. Tell him explicitly, ublitam, don't give him any reasons. Ulai yesh rak lasbir lo shechashash dioraita en kan. Just say, it's not an iser dioraita, this is what you need to do. The minute you say it's not dioraita, the guy's going to be a little bit more calm and say, this is the halacha. And Rav Asher says, I was so happy to see the stipler said the same thing, right? You could say the Gadol Dor from the previous generation, right? He never passed away. I don't know when he passed away, but somewhere in the mid-1900s, okay? So he says, the stipler says this, you know, that's good. That's really good. Okay, so that's the end of really the bulk of the tshuva. Then he goes on in bet. And regarding what you said, maybe, right, remember we said before, v'yachalta v'savata v'yirachta, maybe I should never ever eat bread, because then I'm not going to be chayev in Birkat HaMazon, or I should only eat partial meals, right? I'll never be soveya, and then it's going to be fantastic, it's going to be fine, no problems, everything good. He says, ein lakpid b'klakal, don't even, this is crazy, do not do this. Why? Because the nature of man, and the nature of OCD, the nature of the obsessive compulsions, is that what? The minute you obsess over A, it's not that you end up obsessing over A, you'll find B, C, D, E, F, G, and H to obsess over. So the minute you say, okay, fine, you're right, just don't eat bread. Then he's going to start saying, well, maybe Mizonos is dioraita. Maybe, Berakos HaTorah, according to Rov Rishonim, is dioraita, so maybe I should have never learned Torah. Right? It's going to come to this point where Ein L'davar Sof, and you're going to find yourself in this tsunami or a tidal wave that just keeps going, and you're just going to keep spiraling out of control, right? Don't entertain this. The minute you say, you're right, don't eat bread, or don't ever eat kedei sova, or maybe he shouldn't eat a shir kedei achilas pras, right? Don't eat X amount in under, let's say, 9 minutes, or whatever the shir is, right? Machloket there, right? So once you start getting into these discussions, that you're right, refrain yourself from that, and that's fine. It's not that he's going to just say, okay, I just won't say Kriya Shema. Okay, I just won't eat bread. That's not how the nature of this disorder works. It's going to expand and end up taking over other areas. And if you're going to say this, he's going to end up going to further extremes. And that is the last thing we want, right? And as a result, he says, Barur l'maisa d'yeshol l'inhod k'chol adam u'kudar kol shalom. He should act as normal humans do. What is the normal thing people do? And the normal thing people do is they eat normal meals. People have bread, okay? People don't eat until they're partially satiated, and then they stop, so they don't have to, I guess there's like Birkat HaMazon phobia, for those that are familiar with it, right? Or washophobia, depending on the terminology. Right? People don't want to eat bread because they don't want to make Birkat HaMazon. Okay? But that's not coming from like it's dioraita, dioraita. It's like, oh, it's a tercha to say Birkat HaMazon. No, it's a mitzvah dioraita. It's amazing. What's greater than saying Birkat HaMazon with kavanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But for this person, right, that's going to, the minute you say you're right, refrain from that, then that's going to lead him to another to bigger issues. So Rav Asher says he should do what normal people do: eat the bread, eat the food, eat till you're full, because that's what you should do, because that's how you live a healthy life, both mentally and physically. But and you say and you make the bracha, but don't repeat it. That's the ikar. Do not repeat it. You should be mekayim the mitzvot once, and that's it. And as a result, based on all this, Rav Asher says, then he asks another question: what about kiddush? He's afraid Friday night he's going to be motzi his wife and kids with kiddush. So if he doesn't have kavana, so for his own mental health, we say don't repeat it, right? Better that he doesn't repeat it, okay? But then maybe he's not yotzi his wife and his kids. So what should he do? Should he say kiddush, or should he ask someone else to say kiddush? So that's what the Rav Asher has asked here. You're in this case, you suffer from OCD and you're afraid you're not going to say kiddush properly? Your wife should say kiddush. This should be in parentheses. For whatever reasons, Rav Aviner in his shoot SMS, for those that are holding, published a tshuva this week, was asked whether or not someone's wife can make kiddush, and he said no. And many people came out against him. I saw it. I didn't see it because I wasn't in shul, we davened outside. But I saw someone sent me a picture of it, and I laughed. I said, what do you mean? It's a mefurish Mishnah Berurah. It's a woman can make kiddush. A woman's chayiv, if her kiddush is the same as her husband. Mishnah Berurah says a woman 100% can say kiddush. The Mishnah Berurah says in parentheses, maybe she should only say kiddush for her family. If you have guests over, maybe she shouldn't say kiddush in front of guests because of sneis issues. But 100% it's yotzei. So I don't know why Rav Aviner said that. Part of this is like a hashkafic thing, but whatever. Rav Asher Weiss saying here in this case, better that his wife says kiddush than the husband. Okay? So, and then she's going to be motzi everyone yedei chova. And then he says, if you have sons who are over bar mitzvah, so they could also make kiddush. And they could, you know, he doesn't say the sons have to as opposed to the wife. He says, you're right. You have, you struggle with OCD. You're afraid maybe you're not going to be motzi them. So as a result, better that your wife or your sons who are over the age of bar mitzvah should say kiddush instead of you. Because that's the best thing to do. You're right. Okay, Rav Asher says, what about the case that when you have guests over, right? This guy, he non-corona times, he invites over his neighbors, the lovely Cohen family, and they come over, and he wants to know, what should I do about kiddush? My wife's going to make kiddush for our family and for the Cohen family. And Mishnah Berurah says, that's not sneis. That's not, you know, maybe they're yotzei, but maybe that's not the proper thing to do. We get into that discussion, different discussion. Okay, so, yesh litgaber al bushato. Rav Asher Weiss says, I understand that it's a little bit embarrassing, but people understand. People, you know, it's like when people are embarrassed. The whole discussion of like, do you publicize if someone has corona? Do you publicize their name or not? You have a chiyuv to say who has corona so that people know whether or not they need a quarantine or not, right? So I'm going to be embarrassed. What's to be embarrassed about? It's totally normal. Right now we're in a pandemic with an incredibly contagious disease. Okay, it's not like you purposely went out and were like, who has corona? Give me a hug. That's not like, I mean, if you did, then like, you're stupid. But that's a different issue. Okay? So point is, Rav Asher says, I understand that it's a little bit embarrassing to tell your guests, oh, I have OCD, so I don't want to make kiddush. Right? It's a little bit embarrassing. You'd rather just make kiddush. And Rav Asher says, no, you should, I understand that it's difficult for you, but you should try and you say, tell the person, you know, I suffer from OCD. I want to be mechabed you, you know, Mr. Cohen, Rabbi Cohen, you're a mechubed guest. Can you please make kiddush for everyone? And you shouldn't be embarrassed, but you should at the end of the day, really, you should be mechabed them. You should be very open about it. You know, that's part of also by publishing this tshuva and telling, you know, your guests, I struggle from OCD, so maybe better that you make kiddush. That's part of what this tshuva is really doing in breaking down that stigma, breaking down that barrier, working through that which is difficult, and recognizing that there is halacha has what to say about these things. It's not that halacha and mental health are two totally separate things. Rav Asher says explicitly, it's mutter to give up or to pass up on the opportunity of mitzvot aseh, even the d'oraita like kriyat shema. Okay, don't go back. Listen to what your doctor and your mental health professionals tell you. Okay, even a mitzvah lo taseh, we saw, just like your mechala Shabbat achar kidei tishmor haShabbat harbe, just like we said with Tchum Shabbos, you're stuck in the midbar, yeah, don't do malachot, but keep walking, work your way out, because that's how you do it. That's the only way to get better. And just like we saw, right, regarding the Chasam Sofer Shuva about the kid, can he go to a boarding school that's going to help him work through his, you know, mental disabilities in order to, you know, get better, but he can eat trefos. Okay? And then Rav Asher says, get into any of these games where you're going to start saying, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't ever have bread. Maybe I shouldn't have, you know, kedech yilas pras, right? Everything's going to be darabanan, etc. That's, Rav Asher says, definitely not. That's not going to help you in the long run. You need to work through the OCD so that in the future you'll be able to be a more functioning member of society, a more functioning member, and then you'll be able to keep, be a person, and then you're going to be able to keep more mitzvot. And when it comes to Kiddush, Rav Asher says, you're right. Better that your wife says Kiddush. Better that your son says Kiddush. I know it's a little bit embarrassing sometimes, but we understand that, and people understand that. No one's going to be like, oh, you have OCD? We can't eat in this person's house. You know, family, let's go home. You know, anyone who says that, you probably shouldn't be friends with them anyhow. And, you know, but realistically speaking, Rav Asher is really coming and putting a very, very strong stamp to the concept of mental health really does have a serious role that it plays in halacha. It involves serious shailos, isuri d'oraita, right? Mitzvos d'oraita, d'rabbanan. This comes up all the time. And every case, obviously, is going to, you know, kol mikra legufo, every case should be discussed with a rav and a posek who is competent to discuss both the mental health issues and the halachic issues. And that's something really we need to take into account. And this is one of the reasons why I personally love this shuvah by Rav Asher Weiss. He shows that beautiful balance between, you know, social norms, right? And also, right, and accepting what doctors say, accepting what the professionals say, and also saying halacha has what to deal with, right? As we've discussed so many times, halacha does not just exist, right? I always say halacha is like a bubble, right? There's the ideal what happens inside the bubble. I guess I'm like standing in a bubble right now a little bit, right? Halacha exists in a bubble, but that bubble bumps into things in life. And what happens when a bubble bumps into something? It bends a little bit here and there. And that's one of the beautiful things about this shuvah by Rav Asher. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all really, you know, everyone should know that this shuvah exists, and anyone, you know, everyone should be able to work through whatever, everyone has their own difficulties and things that go on in their life. And that's something that we all should keep in mind and recognize that things are not stigmas, but these are things that really exist and happen. And we have to recognize this is part of the world we live in. And Bezrat Hashem, we should have a great evening.